Good morning. Today is Sunday, November 17th at 9:42 a.m. I woke up this morning with it really put on my spirit to discuss curses, generational curses, word curses, and ancestral curses, and what's the difference between all of these things, how they come upon us. And the first thing I really want to point out is we have to first pay attention to the fact that there are word curses and generational curses and ancestral curses. And the way that we do that, a lot of times curses have patterns. So in our families, we may see like a lot of alcoholism, or people are thieves, or people are liars, or people are barren, or are struggling with poverty, and or not fruitful in life, period. You'll find that if the father is not fruitful, a lot of times the son is not fruitful. If the mother, you know, may have issues with marriage, the daughter may have issues with marriage. So I really want to discuss how these things show up and the power of these curses in our lives, and how once you're able to identify a curse and understand the why of a curse, is very, you know, imperative that you really work diligently to break the curse off your life and off your family's life. So what I want to talk about, and I'm going to briefly just discuss the topic of Jacob in the Bible, and how Jacob word cursed the woman he loved so much. He worked in his uncle's house. Rachel and Jacob were first cousins. And his uncle, Laban, was his mother, Rebekah's brother. And when he went to find a wife and he saw Rachel, he was immediately, you know, smitten by Rachel. And he told his uncle, like, you know, I want to marry Rachel. He said, okay, well, if you want to marry Rachel, she's too young. But if you work for me for 7 years, then I'll let you have her to wed after the 7 years. So he worked very diligently for his uncle Laban, who, the side note, is an idolater. He worships idols. So just keep that in mind. So he worked 7 years for Rachel, and that the night that he was to wed Rachel, he went in his tent and went to sleep, and his uncle Laban sent his older daughter Leah instead of Rachel. And so when he woke up in the morning, he's like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? And of course, I guess Jacob had too much to drink. And he's like, you know, what are you doing here? You know, where's Rachel? So when he went to discuss the issue with Laban, his uncle, he's like, look, what was Leah doing in my tent? And he said, well, is it fair for me to give my oldest daughter away to marriage, but my youngest daughter, before I give away my oldest? So he was hot. So now he has been swindled into a marriage that he didn't sign up for. So his uncle now says, well, okay. If you want to marry Rachel, work another 7 years for her, and then you can have Rachel too. Now Jacob is swindled into a marriage that he didn't sign up for. And he is swindled by his uncle to be, you know, to commit polygamy now too. And adultery at this point, once he then marries Rachel. So it's a lot going on with this story. So I want to speak on Jacob word cursing his wife, Rachel. And we all know, you know, if you know the story of Jacob and Rachel, he loved her. He worked 14 years to marry her. So, of course, intentionally, he would not have cursed his wife and the woman that he loved. So I really want to speak on how important our words are and curses are in our lives and how they manifest. So I want to read Genesis 31:31, where it says, and Jacob said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me, with whomsoever thou findest thy goods, let him not live before our brethren. Discern thou what is thine
with what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel has stolen them.
So this is pretty much where he's leaving. Like, look, I've worked for you for 20 years at this point, you know, 14 of which for your one daughter, but I ended up with a second wife that I didn't want. And now I have children with Leah. My family is extending. It's time for me to go. What more do you want from me? It's time for me to move on with my family. And Laban didn't want this. So Jacob is like, well, look, whether you like it or not, what offense have I committed? And so Laban had his goods taken from his house, specifically these particular idols. So let's jump down. It says, now Laban is at the point, okay, well, I'm going to look all through your house and these houses, these tents at the time. That was what they had, was tents, to find my idols, my images. So let's read. And Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the two maidservants' tent, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and set upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched out, and he searched, but found not the images. And Jacob was wroth and charged with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? So now Jacob is like, look, you came in here, you looked for your stuff. What do you want? What offense have I committed? Not knowing that his wife, his so beloved wife, as we see, is a liar, lied to her father, and is a thief, right? Now, why of all things that you steal his idols and his images, right? Now, maybe she was not an idolater. I would assume that she probably is, but why of all things she takes that? So now let's jump forward to what happens to Rachel. As we saw in 31:32, he said, with whomsoever thou findest thy goods, let him not live before our brethren. So basically saying, look, whoever has your stuff, let them not live. Okay. Doesn't know that Rachel took the images. So let's read. I'm going to skip to 35:16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benjamin, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Now, what happened? Rachel died in childbirth, having Benjamin. Now, she had already only had two. She had Joseph and Benjamin. Now, maybe somebody might say, well, maybe she would have just died anyway, right, in childbirth. But it's not, she didn't just die in childbirth. She got buried on the side of the road. She was so beloved by Jacob, but she dies in childbirth and was just, you know, buried on the side of the road, pretty much on the way to, where were they going? They were on the way to Bethlehem, right? So we see that she just died, pretty much. No honor or anything like that. I know Leah was buried with Abraham in a cave where all of Jacob's descendants, or relatives, I should say, ancestors were buried in the cave. But Rachel was just buried on the side of the road. So as you see, something powerful that Jacob said came to pass, that whoever stole your stuff shall surely die. And she clearly has died prematurely during childbirth, where she couldn't even enjoy her son or her other son, Joseph, because they were, you know, pretty young at the time. So, okay. Let's go back to where these curses started from in the beginning. And I want to talk about Terah. Now, Terah is Abraham's father. And Terah was also an idolater. So, this story is out of the book of Jasher. And it's pretty much what's going on is this. At the time that Abraham was born, Nimrod was king. And Terah birthed Abraham was born, and Nimrod got wind of this child that would take over all of his people, his descendants, Abraham's descendants. So he said, whoever this child is, I want him put to death. So he goes to Terah and he says, what is this child that, you know, who's this child that you have? You know, they're going to take over my kingdom. I want them put to death. And Terah, being the type of person that he is, and I'll show examples of this. Terah says, well, I'll bring the child. And so he brings his handmaiden's child, and Nimrod crushed his skull. So that already kind of is beginning an introductory of the type of person Terah is, to just hand over a child to the king like that, not try to, you know, do anything to preserve another child. He just brings him a child instead of standing up for himself, instead of being put to death, what most people would do versus just handing their child over. But he took Abraham and hid Abraham and his mother in a cave and brought the king this baby of a handmaiden, which more than likely was his child too. And as I said, he bashed the baby's skull. So as Abraham is in the cave with his mother, the Most High was with Abraham in the cave, teaching him, you know, preserving Abraham. And he was there for a while, until pretty much people forgot about that. People forgot about this child that was supposed to take over Nimrod's kingdom at some point. So I want to read. Let's go to the book of Jasher. And let's see. The book of Jasher and chapter 11:12. It says, at the time that Nahor, son of Sarug, in the 49th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah, at that time died Nahor. And in the 50th year of the life of Abraham's son, Terah, Abram came forth from the house of Noah and went into his father's house. And Abram, I'm calling him Abram. Sometimes I may slip and say Abraham, but at this time his name was Abram before he was later renamed Abraham. It says, and Abram knew the Lord and went in his ways and his and instructions, and the Lord his God was with him. And Terah his father was in those days still captain of the host of King Nimrod, and he still followed strange gods. And Abram came to his father's house and saw 12 gods standing there in their temples. And the anger of Abram was kindled when he saw these images in his father's house. And Abram said, as the Lord liveth, these images shall not remain in my father's house. So shall the Lord who created me do unto me if in 3 days' time I do not break them all. And Abram went from them, and his anger burned within him. And Abram hastened and went from the chamber to his father's outer court. And he found his father sitting in the court and all his servants with him. And Abram came and sat before them. And Abram asked his father, saying, Father, tell me, where is God who created heaven and earth and all the sons of men upon the earth, and who created thee and me? And Terah answered, and Terah answered and said, son Abram, behold, those who created us are all with us in this house. And Abram said to his father, my lord, show them to me, I pray thee. And Terah brought Abram into the chamber of the inner court. And Abram saw, and behold, the whole room was full of gods of wood and stone, 12 great images and others less than they without number. And Terah said to his son, behold, these are they which made all thou seest upon earth, and which created me and thee and all mankind. And Terah bowed down to his gods, and he went away from them, and Abram his son went away with him. And when Abram had gone from them, he went to his mother and sat before her and said to his mother, behold, my father has shown me those who made heaven and earth and all the sons of men. Now, therefore, hasten and fetch a kid from the flock and make of it savory meat, that I may bring it to my father's goods as an offering for them to eat. Perhaps I may thereby become acceptable to him. So the mother did that. And so she fetched the kid and made savory meat thereof and brought it to Abram. And Abram took the savory meat from his mother and brought it before his father's gods. And he and he drew nigh to them that they might eat. And Terah his father did not know of it. And Abram saw on the day when he was sitting amongst them that they had no voice, no hearing, no motion, and not one of them could stretch forth his hand to eat. And Abram mocked them and said, surely the savory meat that I prepared has not pleased them, or perhaps it was too little for them. And for that reason, they would not eat. Therefore, tomorrow I will prepare fresh savory meat, better and more plentiful than this, in order that I may see the result. So basically, I made food for you idols, you statues, and you're not eating it. And in the evening of that day, in that house, Abram was clothed with the Spirit of God. And he called out and said, woe unto my father and his wicked generation, whose hearts are inclined to vanity, who serve these idols of wood and stone, which neither can eat, smell, hear, nor speak, which have mouths without speech, eyes without sight, ears without hearing, hands without feeling, and legs which cannot move. Like them are those that made them and that trust in them. And when Abram saw all these things, his anger was kindled against his father, and he hastened and took a hatchet in his hand and came into the chamber of the gods, and he broke all his father's gods. And when he had done breaking the images, he placed the hatchet in the hand of the great god which was there before them. And he went out, and Terah his father came home, for he had heard at the door the sound of the striking of the hatchet. So Terah came into the house to know what was this about. And Terah, having heard the noise of the hatchet in the room of images, he ran to the room of images, and he met Abram going out. And Terah entered the room and found all the idols fallen down and broken, and the hatchet in the hand of the largest, which was not broken. And the savory meat which Abram his son had made was still before them. And Terah saw this anger and was greatly kindled. And he hastened and went from the room to Abram. And he found Abram his son still sitting in the house and said to him, what is this work that thou hast done to my gods? And Abram answered Terah his father, and he said, not so, my lord, for I brought savory meat before them. And when I came to nigh with the meat that they might eat, they all at once stretched forth their hands to eat before the great one had put forth his hand to eat. And the large one and the large one saw their works that they did before him. And his anger was violently kindled against him. And he went and took the hatchet that was in the house and came to them and broke them all. And behold, the hatchet is yet in his hand as thou seest. And Terah's anger was kindled against his son Abram when he spoke this. And Terah said to Abram his son in anger, what is this tale that thou hast told? Thou speakest lies to me. Is there in these gods spirit, soul, or power to do all that thou hast told me? Are they not wood and stone? And have I not made them? And canst thou speak such lies, saying that the large God was with them and smote them? Is it? It is thou that did his place. It is thou that did his place the hatchet in his hands, and then says he smote them all. And Abram answered his father and said unto him, and how canst thou then serve these idols in whom there is no power to do anything? Can these idols in which thou trustest deliver thee? Can they hear thy prayers when thou callest upon them? Can they deliver thee from the hands of thy enemies? Or will they fight thy battles for thee against thy enemies, that thou shouldest serve wood and stone, which can neither speak nor hear? And now, surely it is not good for thee, nor the sons of men that are connected with thee, to do these things. Are you so silly, so foolish, or so short of understanding that you will serve wood and stone and do after this matter and forget the Lord God who made heaven and earth and who created you in the earth and thereby bring a great evil upon your souls in this matter by serving wood and stone? Did not our fathers in the days of old sin in this matter, and the Lord God of the universe brought the waters of the flood upon them and destroyed the whole earth? How can you continue to do this and serve gods of wood and stone who cannot hear or speak or deliver you from oppression, thereby bringing down the anger of the God of the universe upon you? Now, therefore, my father, refrain from doing this and bring not evil upon thy soul and the souls of thy household. And Abram hastened and sprang from before his father and took the hatchet from his father's largest idol with which Abram broke it and ran away. And Terah, seeing all that Abram had done, hastened to go from his house and went to the king. And he came before Nimrod and stood before him, and he bowed down to the king. And the king said, what dost thou want? And he said, I beseech thee, my lord, to hear me now. Now 50 years back a child was born to me, and thus has he done to my gods, and thus has he spoken. And now, therefore, my lord and king, send for him that he may come before thee and judge him according to the law, that we may be delivered from his evil. Now, did you hear that? Basically, you just went and snitched on your son. Pretty much, that's what he did. He smashed your idols, you got upset, and went and told Nimrod that, look what he did to me. Look at this evil that he's done. Well, he needs to be punished. Now, how can you do that to your own child, right? Okay. But remember, this is the same person that, instead of defending his baby, his newborn son, he brought another baby for his head to be smashed. So just keep that in mind. And the king sent three men of his servants, and they went and brought Abram before the king. And Nimrod and all his princes and servants were that day sitting before him, and Terah sat also before them. And the king said to Abram, what is this that thou hast done to thy father and his gods? And Abram answered the king in the words that he spoke to his father, and he said, the large God that was with them in the house did to them what thou hast heard. And the king said to Abram, had they power to speak and eat and do as thou hast said? And Abram answered the king, saying, and if there is no power in them, why dost thou serve them and cause the sons of men to err through thy follies? Dost thou image that they can deliver thee or do anything small or great that thou shouldest serve them? And why would thou not sense the God of the whole universe who created thee and in whose power is it to kill and keep alive? O foolish, simple, and ignorant king, woe unto thee forever. I thought thou wouldest teach thy servants the upright way, but thou hast not done this, but hast filled the whole earth with thy sins and the sins of thy people who have followed thy ways. Dost thou not know, or hast thou not heard, that this evil which thou doest, our ancestors sinned therein in days of old, and the eternal God brought the waters of the flood upon them and destroyed them all, and also destroyed the whole earth on their account? And wilt thou and thy people rise up now and do like unto this work in order to bring down the anger of the Lord God of the universe and to bring evil upon thee and the whole earth? Now, therefore, put away this evil deed which thou doest, and serve the God of the universe, as thy soul is in his hands, and then it will be well with thee. And if thy wicked heart will not hearken to my words to cause thee to forsake thy evil ways and to serve the eternal God, then wilt thou die in shame in the later days. Thou, thy people, and all who are connected with thee, hearing thy words or walking in thy evil ways. And when Abram had ceased speaking before the king and princes, Abram lifted up his eyes to the heavens and said, the Lord seeth all wicked, and he will judge them. Okay. So the king heard this. He's furious. Like, who are you to talk to me like this? I'm King Nimrod. I'm big and bad. So he says, when the king heard the words of Abram, he ordered him to be put into prison. And Abram was 10 days in prison. And at the end of those days, the king ordered that all the kings, princes, and governors of different provinces and the sages should come before him. And they sat before him, and Abram was still in the house of confinement. And the king said to the princes and sages, have you heard what Abram, the son of Terah, has done to his father? Thus has he done to him, and I order him to be brought before me, and thus has he spoken. His heart did not misgive him, neither did he stir in my presence. And behold, now he is confined in the prison. And therefore decide what judgment is due to this man who reviled the king, who spoke and did all the things you have heard. And they answered the king, saying, the man who revileth the king should not be hanged upon a tree, but having done all the things that he said, and having despised our gods, he must therefore be burned to death. For this is the law in this matter. If it pleaseth the king to do this, let him order his servants to kindle a fire both night and day in thy brick furnace, and then we will cast this man into it. And the king did so, and he commanded his servants that they should prepare a fire for 3 days and three nights in the king's furnace, that is, in Casdim. And the king ordered them to take Abram from prison and bring him out to be burned. And all the king's servants, princes, lords, governors, judges, and all the inhabitants of the land, about 900,000 men, stood opposite the furnace to see Abram. All the women, the little ones, crowded upon the roofs and towers to see what was doing with Abram. And they all stood together at a distance, and there was not a man left that did not come on the day to behold the scene. And when Abram was come, the conjurers of the king and the sages saw Abram, and they cried out to the king, saying, our sovereign Lord, surely this is a man whom we know to have been the child at whose birth the great star swallowed the four stars, when which we declared to the king now 50 years since. So basically what they're saying is, this is the same person that we told you a long time ago would overtake your kingdom, pretty much. And behold, now his father also transgressed thy commands and mocked thee by bringing thee another child, which thou didst kill. And when the king heard their words, he was exceedingly wroth, and he ordered Terah to be brought before him. And the king said, now check this part out. And the king said, hast thou heard what the conjurers have spoken? Now tell me truly, how didst thou? And if thou shalt speak truth, thou shalt be acquitted. And seeing that the king's anger was so much kindled, Terah said to the king, my lord and king, thou hast heard the truth, and what the sages have spoken is right. And the king said, how couldest thou do this thing, to transgress my orders, and to give me a child that thou didst not beget, and to take value for him? And Terah answered the king, because my tender feelings were excited for my son at the time, and I took a son of my handmaid, and I brought him to the king. And the king said, who advised thee to this? Tell me, do not hide aught from me, and then thou shalt not die. And Terah was greatly terrified. Terah is really a coward, okay? It's just all over the place. He's a coward. And he said to the king, it was Haran, my eldest son, who advised me to this. And Haran was in those days that Abram was born 32 years old. But Haran did not advise his king, his father, to anything. For Terah said this to the king in order to deliver his soul from the king, for he feared greatly. And the king said to Terah, Haran, thy son who advised thee to this shall die through the fire with Abram, for the sentence of death is upon him for having rebelled against the king's desire and doing this thing. And Haran, now listen to the type of person Haran is, sway with the wind. And Haran at that time felt inclined to follow the ways of Abram, but he kept it within himself. And Haran said in his heart, behold, now the king has seized Abram on account of these things which Abram did. And it shall come to pass that if Abram prevail over the king, I will follow him. But if the king prevail, I will go after the king. And when Terah had spoken this to the king concerning Haran, his son, the king ordered Haran to be seized with Abram. And they brought them both, Abram and Haran, his brother, to cast them into the fire. And all the inhabitants of the land and the king's servants and princes and all the women and the little ones were standing there that day over them. And the king's servants took Abram and his brother, and they stripped them of all of their clothes except their lower garments which were upon them. And they bound their hands and feet with linen cords, and the servants of the king lifted them up and cast them both in the furnace. And the Lord loved Abram, and he had compassion over him. And the Lord came down and delivered Abram from the fire, and he was not burned. But all the cords which were bound him were burned, and Abram remains and walked about in the fire. And Haran died when they cast him into the fire, and he was burned to ashes, for his heart was not perfect with the Lord. And those men who cast him into the fire, the flame of the fire spread over them, and they were burned, and 12 men of them died. And Abram walked in the midst of the fire 3 days and 3 nights. And all the servants of the king saw him walking in the fire. And they came and told the king, saying, behold, we have seen Abram walking about in the midst of the fire. And even the lower garments which are upon him are not burned, but the cord with which he was bound is burned. And when the king heard their words, his heart fainted, and he would not believe them. So he sent other faithful princes to see the matter, and they went and saw it and told it to the king. And the king rose to go see it. And he saw Abram walking to and fro in the midst of the fire, and he saw Haran's body burn, and the king wondered greatly. And the king ordered Abram to be taken out of the fire, and his servants approached to take him, and they could not. For the fire was round about, and the flame ascended toward them from the furnace, and the king's servants fled from it. And the king rebuked them, saying, make haste and bring Abram out of the fire, that you shall not die. And the servants of the king again approached to bring Abram out, and the flames came upon them and burned their faces, so that 8 of them died. And when the king saw that his servants could not approach the fire, lest they should be burned, the king called to Abram, O servant of the God who is in heaven, go forth from amidst the fire and come hither before me. And Abram hearkened to the voice of the king, and he went forth from the fire and came and stood before the king. And when Abram came out, the king and all his servants saw Abram coming forth before the king with his lower garments upon him, for they were not burned, but the cord with which he was bound was burned. And the king said to Abram, how is it thou was not burned in the fire? And Abram said to the king, the God of heaven and the God in whom I trust, and who has all in his power, he delivered me from the fire into which thou didst cast me. And Haran, the brother of Abram, was burned to ashes, and they sought for his body, and they found it consumed. And Haran was 82 years old when he died in the fire of Casdim. And the king, princes, inhabitants of the land, seeing that Abram was delivered from the fire, they came and bowed down to Abram. And Abram said, do not bow to me, but bow down to the God of the world who made you, and serve him and go for his ways. For it is he who delivered me from this fire, and it is he who created the souls and spirits of men, who formed man in his mother's womb and brought him forth into the world. And it is he who will deliver those who trust in him from all pain. Now, I mentioned all of that to pretty much get you to understand where Abraham came from, the type of father that Abraham had. His father was an idolater. His father was a sellout. His father pretty much was a coward. And he was many things that, you know, we really, wouldn't want to be, you know, or we would really wouldn't want to come from, or pretty much he had a father, but in most people's eyes, you would say that he was fatherless. He never taught him anything, and he didn't stand up for his cause, and he hid him in the beginning of his life because he was a coward. So, but as you can see, Abraham came from an idolater, and even though Abraham was upright and righteous, he still lied to his father. So just keep that in mind, that the spirit of lying was upon Abraham, even though he was still a righteous man and upright, and God had compassion for him, he still lied, and he still came from an idolater. So let's jump down to his son. Well, no, let's jump down to when Abraham went to pass a land with his wife Sarah, and he passed through the land of Abimelech. And instead of his wife was beautiful, Sarah was very beautiful. And instead of him walking with Sarah, he put Sarah in a box so that nobody would be able to see her, to hide her, because he felt that if the king saw Sarah, that he would take her. And that's exactly what happened. He took her. And he told Sarah that we're going to say that we're sister and brother and not husband and wife. So when he took her into his house, the king, a lot of plagues started happening in his house. And then the spirit of God told him, like, you got a married woman in your house. You need to, you know, get her out of there. So when the king went to speak to Abraham, the king Abimelech, and said, you know, why didn't you say that this was your wife? Why did you say that she was your sister? And he said, because I didn't want you to take her from me. So just keep that in mind, that happened. Now, I want to jump to when this happened. This repeated itself with his son, Isaac. So when Isaac was traveling with his wife, Rebekah, they came through the same land with the same king again, Abimelech. And he says, let me get the exact scripture. Bear with me for a second. So, in Genesis 24, you see where basically Isaac does the same thing Abraham did. He basically, they're traveling just like Abraham, and he has his wife. He has Rebekah. So, let me read. Okay, it says, because I want to make 2 points here, but okay, so it says, it's actually Genesis 26, so It says, and there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac, went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him. He said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land of which I shall tell thee of. Sojourner in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee, and give unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars in the heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon, because she was attractive. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how saidest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lying with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying that he that toucheth this man or his wife shall be surely put to death. Then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Okay. Now, as we can see, Isaac lied just like his father lied. When Abraham lied and said Sarah was his sister, now Isaac is lying, saying that Rebekah is his sister. Now, Jacob just takes it over the top. When Jacob comes, his mother, Rebekah, who, you know, again, Isaac and Rebekah are cousins also. So now these lies and these little things from idolatry and all of these things are just passing down. So you see it in the form of these people are coming from idolaters, and they're liars. So Rebekah later on tricks or helps Jacob to trick his father into tricking him into giving the blessing that was meant for Esau, the firstborn, to give that to Jacob. So she tricks her own son, or she tricks her own father, you know, against her other son by telling him, look, cook this for your father, and I'm going to put this skin on you so you can smell like your brother, so that, you know, your father, who can't really see that good, will think that you are your brother instead of, you know, and give you the blessing that's intended for Esau. So he does that, and then now in Jacob, in his life, he has swindled his father's into giving the blessing to him. He swindles Esau into giving his birthright to him over a pot of red lentils. So you see that Terah was a liar. He's an idolater. He's a coward. You see that Abraham, in turn, lies because he didn't want to be put to death over Sarah or have her taken from him, which ultimately is what happened. And then Isaac did the same thing. Rebekah, you know, became a liar. So now you have all of these people involved, that the man that is a liar, you see that he's merged with a woman of similar character, right? So now Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, and this is what's in his lineage, now he's then tricked by his uncle, which is his mother's brother, which is Rebekah's brother. He's tricked into marrying Leah. So it's all type of trickery and lying and deceit and a lot going on with these people. So the love of his life, Rebecca, we may safely assume that she was an idolater because of all the things she stole from her father. She stole his images and hid them. So she was a thief and a liar. Jacob was a thief because he stole his brother's blessing from him and tricked him into giving up his birthright. So Jacob, even though beloved by God, all of these people are flawed people. And that's a testament in itself to say that no matter what you are and what you come from, God will still love us through our transgressions. That's not to say that you should be a repeat offender, but I'm saying this to say that, you know, we're not perfect human beings, and in our flesh, we've inherited these curses. We've inherited these traits about us. And when you see these things in the family, it's not to point a finger, but more so to identify that there's a curse, and somebody that can identify it can actually break the curse. So as Jacob, you know, marries Leah, he married a woman that he didn't intend to marry out of being swindled out of it, out of the deal, right? So as these things, we see these things in this family, this is the lineage of God's chosen people that come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I really wanted to speak on that. You see a word curse where Jacob word cursed Rachel ignorantly. The spirit of lying has followed from Terah down to Abraham, down to Isaac and Jacob. An ancestral curse of being an idolater. I'm sure that curse has manifested itself. So all of these curses that come down as you know, Sarah was frustrated because she couldn't conceive. So instead of waiting on the Most High, she gives her handmaiden to Abraham, and she ended up conceiving it at 99 years old. So instead of waiting on God, she put Abraham in a position to commit adultery by having a handmaiden. And the thing that I want to really say is that just because people did things in the Bible, it does not mean that it was right. It doesn't mean that it was ordained by God. It doesn't mean that this was a law that they were doing and it was okay. The law pretty much was this. Everything that you needed was in the Garden of Eden. You didn't get two wives. It wasn't two Eves. It was one Adam and one Eve, and that was it. When everybody starts taking things and matters into their own hands, you end up with a lot of confusion, right? You end up like in Jacob's case, or no, let's use Abraham. Abraham was totally fine with just having Sarah. Sarah felt insecure about not being able to conceive and gave Abraham her handmaiden, Hagar. And through Hagar came Ishmael, and Ishmael was his own great lineage himself, but the blessing didn't come from Ishmael. It came from Sarah having Isaac at 99 years old, right? Then you see with Rebecca and Esau and Jacob, same thing. Rebecca helps to, you know, swindle her husband and trick her other son because she favored Jacob. And what happens with Jacob? Jacob is now swindled into a marriage that he didn't want to have. And even through that, even though he didn't want to marry Leah, from Leah came Judah. Because Judah is Leah's son, not Rachel's. So now Jesus Christ came from Judah. So now even through all of these different situations, and that was pretty much the point of my first recording, was that throughout all of these different trials and all of these different decisions, God still makes a way. But is it his perfect will? Probably not. But he knows that you're going to transgress. He knows that you're going to take a detour. And even through that, he gives us mercy when we still receive a blessing in the end. It may not be the perfect design, as you can see, because there's a lot of confusion. It's a lot of competition between, you know, Leah and Rachel. Because of the fact that Rachel couldn't conceive and Leah kept conceiving, and it's like, this was supposed to be my husband, not yours. This was my blessing, not yours. And Rachel, even though she was the one that was beloved, she was the one buried by the side of the road. Leah on the other hand, was buried with Abraham, had six kids for, she had six sons for six children for Jacob, I believe. So, saying that is to say that, you know, throughout all of these generations, you see the errors, but you see a lot of the error comes from generational curses or generational spirits of lying, deception, trickery, all of those spirits just passing down, manifesting in their lives and making things different from God's original plan. So, again, you have ancestral curses of idolatry passing down right through the generation. And as you can see, with each generation, it got more intensified where Abraham had, you know, multiple wives. But again, the blessing comes from Isaac and Jacob. And then Jacob being a swindler, having, you know, two wives and two handmaidens and kids here and kids there. And, you know, it's just a lot of confusion and competition when you have all of these different people involved in these situations. So, again, it was put on, you know, my spirit today to talk about these things and how when you can recognize them, you can break them. Just like in these settings, you have a lot of liars. So there's a spirit of lying being passed down. When God puts something on you to see in your family, like, man, none of us are married, or we all have babies out of wedlock, or it's frequent poverty, or whatever that is, if you seek God, he will show you the reason why, so that with the mercy and the grace of God, you can break that curse off your family. But the first step is to be able to identify it for what it is. So I just wanted to make this video, I wanted to make it a little bit quicker, but it ran a little bit longer than what I initially intended. But I just wanted to put that out there, and you know, hopefully it helps somebody today. So have a blessed day, anybody that hears this recording today.